Father, it is with grateful hearts that we come to your throne for providing this time of fellowship with those who share in the mind of Christ. Thank you for sending your word, Jesus Christ, to heal us and to be our Savior. We pray a special prayer for those in our fellowship who are suffering pain right now, for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, for those who have job-related problems, for those in financial difficulties, and for those who are in bondage of these fleshly addictions. Father, we pray that you give us patience and strength to endure these trials. And Father, we beg for your release of these afflictions according to your will, especially to our elder sisters, Fanny and Jackie. Please, Father, bring healing to their aching bodies. We thank you, Father, for the life of our dear brother, Tom Pysik, whom you took away through death this week. Thank you for giving us the time to spend with Tom and to share in the mind of Christ with him. We also say thank you, Father, for the prayers that you have answered. We thank you and we glorify you. We ask you to bless our discussion today, as we only want to bring all the honor and the glory to you, Father, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome everyone to this discussion on the foundational themes in Genesis, and thank you so much for your time. Our key verses for this discussion are found in Genesis chapter 28, and we will cover verses 10 to verse 22. So please read with us as we go through the notes we compiled here, and we also pray that this will be a blessing to you. Abram is given to us in Scripture as a type of how spiritual justification is obtained only by the faith of Jesus. Jesus is the true father of all nations in the generation of the first Adam. Let's read our first verse there, Romans 4 verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, the faith of Christ. Romans 3 verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, to all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Through the faith of Abraham, Isaac was given the election of true sonship by God, even as those in Christ are given spiritual sonship because of the inheritance the faith of Christ establishes. Galatians 3 verse 16. Now to Abram and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And then down to verse 29. And if you be Christ's, then you, then are you Abram's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Jesus is the true firstborn of the Father, through whom his elect will be given the spiritual rulership over the nations of the earth, and judging those who will come up in a spiritual body in the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Our attention is now shifting from Isaac to Jacob, as the life of Jacob introduces us to our own journey in finding out how to be God's true servants through spiritual sanctification. But this theme of servanthood through sanctification And the process involved in it starts off with seeking vainglory through opportunism and manipulation, which is what the life of Jacob typifies. While we are getting to know our true status in Christ, the old man is still active in us with its natural mindset, just focused on serving self-interests. As the natural man in us is always occupied to get his own way, this self-centered spirit of the natural mind is far removed from spiritual admonitions like the following. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 24, let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good. Ephesians 4 verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Philippians 2 verses 3 to 5, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This journey with our old man is the same journey which Jacob encountered for our learning. Jacob is a man in continuous conflict. And in the early part of his life, we meet him in the scriptures as the one who is clearly not noble in his ways. He displays a very weak moral character as he uses deceptive schemes to cause Esau, his elder brother, to sell him the birthright of the firstborn, and also obtaining the blessing of the firstborn from Isaac with the help of his mother Rebekah. The poet Rudyard Kipling wrote the following line in one of his poems, for the sin that you do by two and two, you must pay for one by one. The scriptures are clear that everyone shall carry his or her own load, as now Jacob's time of trouble typifies how God's elect will go through judgment first. Jacob's life is therefore written for our admonition to see that the elect of God has human flaws, just like every other person in the first Adam. God's choice of his elect baffles the natural mind, and it always seems unfair. This unfairness is even more confusing for some, as God made these decisions long before birth. Psalms 139 verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book all my days were recorded, even those which were purposed before they had come into being. In Jeremiah 1 verses 4 and 5, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God's choice of this deceiver Jacob further mystifies his election criteria. Romans 9 verses 10 to 13, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls, it was said to Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. But we will all learn through this life that this is God's show, so to speak. He does what he wants, and he does not need to answer to anyone why he works in this way. Isaiah 45 from verse 4 to 7. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called you by your name. I have surnamed you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no God beside me. I girded you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. If we can submit to this God, this most powerful, almighty God, and if we can associate with these base people whom the world sees as unfit for any good use, then we are in the right place to be used as God's special servants, His elect. 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 26 to verse 29, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." The elect will be those who will come up in the first resurrection, as we know, and they will rule on this earth in the symbolic thousand-year reign over the kings of the kingdoms of the earth, and they will also be the judges in the lake of fire. Well, that will all happen to the surprise of the entire world. But to be the first, we need to be the least, in the sense that we need to go through a very humbling process, which few will be successful in. Mark 10 verse 31, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last, that is, that are those who are the least, or the basest, or the lowest, they will be the first. They will be in that first resurrection." Matthew 10, then to verse 44, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Mark 9, verse 35, "And Jesus sat down and called the 12 and said to them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be the last of all, the servant of all." So to be a servant to all requires the wisdom that this world cannot have, as they want to lord over others. They want to rule over the convictions of others also. Jesus first and foremost wants His wisdom to be in His chosen elect, even as He always associated more with the base of the world while He was walking on the earth. He was indeed, and He is indeed, a friend of sinners. Matthew 11 verse 19, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and a friend of sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." This is also what all God's elect will have to learn the hard way, when we thought we ourselves can pick and choose when and how we are trialed and tested, and when we also think it depends on us to choose our place and our function in His kingdom, in His church, in His body. Matthew 20, verse 22 and 23. "But Jesus answered and said, Those who ask Him for a special seat, a special throne, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And His disciples say to Him, We are able." And then verse 23. "And He said to them, You shall drink indeed the cup of my cup. and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. There are many types of cups in Scripture, and we all need to drink them in a specific order, basically two groups. To eventually become a true friend of sinners is to also drink the bitter cup of Jesus in being rejected, despised, falsely accused, betrayed, denied, crucified, etc. But this comes only after we first drink the cup of the Lord unworthily, when we are on the side of those who are performing the lording over others, the rejection of the Christ, the despising of the Christ, when we are doing the false accusations, the betraying, the denials, and the crucifying. This is when we are deceived, and also deceive others with lying false doctrines, and when we want our way to be done. We have compiled a short list here of a few cups which the Scriptures mention and which we will all take part of. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 21 we read of the cup of devils. In Isaiah 51 verse 17, the cup of his fury and the cup of trembling. Ezekiel 23 verse 33, the cup of astonishment and desolation. Revelation 14:10, the cup of indignation. Revelation 16 verse 19, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Psalms 116 verse 13, the cup of salvation. Habakkuk 2 verse 16, the cup of the Lord's right hand. Jeremiah 16 verse 7, the cup of consolation. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, the cup of blessing. And Mark 9 verse 41, a cup of water to drink in my name. Dwelling in tents is a lifestyle God wanted for Abram, for Isaac, and for Jacob in their time of sojourning in the land of Canaan. But a tent is also seen as a protection in the life of Jacob, as he was not yet exposed to the trials of the outside world. So let's read Genesis 25 verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. To take a possession of the spiritual inheritance in Christ comes through much tribulation and trials outside the tent. Without the camp is the place to bear Christ's reproach, as we read in Hebrews 13 from verse 11 down to verse 13. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. So their bodies are burned without the camp, while their blood is brought into the sanctuary. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Jacob had to leave his comfort zone, and after leaving his tent in Canaan, the time of Jacob's trouble is introduced to us as he, and also everyone in the first Adam, at their appointed time, will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of all our deception and conniving and what we all did in this tent of flesh. So the day of the Lord is indeed a great day, not for the flesh, but for the new spirit man in us. Jeremiah 30 verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob, like the elect of God, will be saved out of this day of judgment by going through the day of judgment, the time of judgment. Jacob could not avoid it, but he had to face his trouble And through that, he was saved out of it. The rapture doctrine is a false doctrine if we can see that the process of judgment is the process of sanctification. This judgment all begins at God's elect, even his spiritual house, as we can only learn the righteous ways of God when our sins will find us out. That is when we can face up to it and be reproved and corrected by a loving Father. Numbers 32 verse 23, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Jeremiah 2 verse 19, your own wickedness shall correct you, and your own backslidings shall reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. But before Jacob got to Haran, God had an appointment with him through a dream in the night. God is the one who prepares our paths and also make provisions, proper provisions to see it, to see to it that his servants will complete the time of judgment at hand. Genesis 28 from verse 11 down to verse 15. And Jacob lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon you lie, to you will I give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as dust, as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you, and in your seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all places where you go, and I will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. We know that dreams are also sent by God, as all things are from him. And it is also through his word alone that we will be able to understand how to interpret dreams, to bring the glory to God. Romans 11 verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The ladder Jacob saw in the dream was set up on earth, but it reached the heaven. We know that all scripture is about Jesus Christ, whether it concerns his earthly flesh, even us, or his spiritual glory in heaven with the Father. John 1 verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Revelation 1 verse 17, and when I, John, saw him, that is the exalted Jesus in spirit, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Jesus is the first, and he is the last. And in that he connects the earth and the heaven, as he also works all things in the earthly realm from his heavenly position. Hebrews 11 verse 3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It is therefore clear that Jesus is the spiritual ladder upon whom all the angels all his angels, who are his messengers and his servants, and that they will descend and ascend to bring forth his purposes. So these are God's rulership on the earth through his elect, having rulership in the symbolic 1,000-year period. And they will also rule as judges in heaven, in the spiritual eon, being judges in the lake of fire, even as Jesus stood above it all. In John 1, verse 49 to verse 51, Nathanael answered and said to Jesus when Jesus called him for the first time to be his apostle, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, believe you? You shall see greater things than these. And Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Through Jacob's dream, God confirmed and transferred this promise to him personally. This is the same promise God made with Abraham and with Isaac also. Every servant of God needs personal affirmation that they are the elect of God, whom God has chosen for his purposes in heaven and in earth. Sorry, in earth and in heaven. That's a sequence. This is the exclusive work of the Spirit of God, and no one else can give the faith to believe this witness of the Spirit. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ, as it comes through an intimate connection to his Word, which is his Spirit. Romans 8 verses 16 and 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. All of God's true servants initially will not recognize this inner witness of the Spirit, and even doubt their own calling, as they are still filled with pride to think that they are not the right person for the job, as there are so many seemingly better equipped people. This is just pride in camouflage, as we know it. Moses was confused and used all kinds of excuses to inform God of what he thought God was not aware of about him. Exodus 3, verse 11. And Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And then Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore, nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Gideon also used his insignificant family background in a very poor attempt to try to change God's mind, as he also wanted to see so many signs before he could believe and accept that God actually wanted to use him. Judges 6 verse 15. And Gideon said to him, Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Jeremiah saw himself also as hopelessly immature, what we came to know as a babe in Christ. But God called him even before he was born, just like Jacob, just like all God's elect. Jeremiah 1 verse 6. Then said Jeremiah, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He was very young at that stage. The fear of God is instilled in us when we realize that it's not our choice to be God's elect. And that he will indeed empower us to do all things he wants to achieve in and through us. This was also Jacob's reaction to this revelation in this dream. Genesis 28 verses 16 and 17. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." The fear of the Lord is a very important aspect of our service to God and to others. The servants of God always move in the fear of the Lord to do His will and not according to their own personal agendas. Genesis 28 verses 18 and 19. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. We know that God will perform His word first in the life of the elect, who are the anointed living stones which comprise God's spiritual house, as 1 Peter 2 verses 5 to 10 also, 5, 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2 verses 5, 9 and 10. You also, as lively stones, are built up as spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. But even after this revelation of God, it is clear that Jacob still needed to go a very long road to be released of this opportunistic and manipulative nature. At this point in time, Jacob is still concerned as to what he can gain out of this. Note the many me's and my's and I's in the following verses. It is a dead giveaway which spirit is at work at this time in Jacob's soul. Jacob actually openly says that he will pay God a tenth if God keeps His word to give him what God has promised. Genesis 28 from verse 20 to 22. And Jacob vowed saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, then give me and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth to you." This sounds very familiar to us, surely, as Jacob in time will also find out, as we are doing, that God actually owns everything. When we know this, we present everything to Him and to His work, even our bodies and our time in service to God and to others. Romans 12 from verse 1 to 5. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Let us end this with prayer. Thank you, Father, for sanctifying us to be the servant you want us to be, to serve you and those you are giving to us. And we know what you have set in your mind, Father, you will achieve even in our own lives. Help us to submit to your ways, Father, and to see that your will be done in earth and in heaven all the time. And we thank you for revealing this truth to us as you are sanctifying us through your word, even Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.